Welcome to Favorite Stories, weekly, the Family Bible Hour, an international radio broadcast, which began in 1951, has presented as part of each worldwide program an interesting story. After all, everyone loves a good story. This is Arnett McEntee, inviting you to join me as I share some of these stories with you. When the small daughter of the distinguished sculpturist, Sally James Farnham, was asked which child was her mother's favorite, the little girl, according to Frances Newton in this week's magazine, promptly replied, "She loves Jimmy best because he's the oldest. And she loves Johnny best because he's the youngest. And she loves me best because I'm the only girl." Well, it would be difficult to find anything which could more clearly explain God's all-inclusive love for men and women. No matter to what heights you have risen or what depths you have fallen, friend, God loves you. I'm so thankful I can say with the Apostle Paul, "The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Mark Guy Pierce told of the time he overheard one of his children admonishing the other, "You must be good, or Daddy won't love you." Calling the boy to himself, he said, "Son, that isn't really true. But you won't love us if we're bad, will you, Daddy?" the boy asked. "Yes, I will love you, whether you are good or bad," Pierce explained. "But there will be a difference in my love. When you are good, I will love you with a love that makes me glad. And when you are not good, I will love you with a love that makes me sad." Our God loves at all times. Although he hates sin, he loves the sinner. Screaming from the headlines of the daily paper were the tragic words, "Doctor tells of killing four." An unsigned note in the doctor's handwriting said, "Despair, frustration, restlessness, all haunt and tantalize me. Have I sinned? I do not believe my plight is due to sin. I think it's the result of being born like a cross, mean dog instead of a happy, friendly dog. How can a leopard change his spots? That's my question." So read the doctor's note. The young heart specialist had gone into the rooms where his wife and three children were sleeping and taken their lives. Then, in an unsuccessful effort to hide his crime, he set fire to the house. How grateful we are that there is an answer to the doctor's question. How can a leopard like man change his spots and to remove those awful spots of sin? There is one and only one way. The Bible says in 1 John 1:7, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Dr. J. Wilbur Chapman often spoke very forcefully about the subject of sin, and he called it an abominable thing that God hates. A leader in his congregation came to him on one occasion and urged him to cease talking about and so describing sin. The gentleman, who was a medical doctor, said, "We wish you would not speak so plainly about sin. Our young people, hearing you, are more likely to indulge in sin. Call it something else, an inhibition, an error, a mistake or even a twist of nature. Oh, I understand what you mean, said the preacher. Supposing, doctor, I went to your supply of medicines and poisons and changed the name of a poisonous substance to that of a harmless item. You see, the more harmless the name, the more dangerous the dose will be. Friend, sin, though it is appealing, is terribly dangerous. It has terrifying results. For the Word of God says, the wages of sin is death. A flippant young man asked a preacher, you say that unsaved people carry a weight of sin. I feel nothing. How heavy is sin anyway? Is it 10 pounds or 80 pounds? The preacher replied by asking the young man, if you laid a 400-pound weight on a corpse, would it feel the load? The young man replied, why, it would feel absolutely nothing. It's dead. The preacher responded, that's exactly the point. The individual is spiritually dead who has never accepted Christ and known his sins forgiven. So it was that the young man caught the point and silently turned away from the preacher. How wonderful to know that there is life from the deadness of sin. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 said, and you hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and in sin. Friend, is that new and invigorating life yours? Are you saved and on your way to heaven because your sins and the awful load of them has been lifted? I hope and pray so. A jetliner involved in one of the worst aviation accidents in history was 11 miles off course when it collided with another aircraft. The result was that 135 people died. Speaking aeronautically, 11 miles is infinitesimal, yet 135 people would be alive today if that jetliner had followed instructions. Disastrous results occur not only when airliners, but also individuals are off course. When men deviate from God's plan and pursue sin, tragic results follow. The Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. Police had absolutely no problem at all in tracking down the burglar who had vandalized a home in Pelham, New Hampshire. As the unwanted intruder came by automobile, he backed his car into a large snowbank. There, the license plate of his car left a perfect imprint in the snow. The Bible tells us, be sure your sin will find you out. It was Friday afternoon as Albert Drecker was on duty at the railroad bridge over the Passaic River. He had opened the bridge to allow a boat to pass through, and now he was about to close it, for the time was nearing for the New York train to cross. Just then, his little boy Peter came running down to watch the closing of the large bridge. Suddenly, the little fellow slipped and fell down the steep embankment into the deep waters of the river below. Almost at the same moment, the whistle of the approaching train was heard in the distance. Drecker could not see the train as yet, but he knew it would meet with disaster unless the bridge was closed at once. To save Peter's life, he would have to stay at his post. It would have been an easy matter at that point to dive in and save him. But he stayed where he was and refused to rescue his lad, that in turn the bridge might be closed. and many, many more saved as a result. Poor man, with agonizing heart, he watched as his boy drowned, but he stayed at his post. Slowly, ever so slowly it seemed, the large bridge swung into place, and seconds later, the train roared safely across. At the same moment, Drecker dove into the water and brought Peter's lifeless body to the shore. We admire such devotion that would lead a man to surrender his son. But here is an even greater story of sacrifice. It is this, my friend. One day, long ago, God gave his only well-beloved son for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So reads John chapter 3, verse 16. Isn't that wonderful love? Friend, have you repented of your sin and accepted God's Son as your Savior? Do so this very moment. Triangle Hill in Korea was one of those terribly savage fights against an enemy which had entrenched itself. A small company of American boys, led by their colonel, was valiantly struggling to scale the blood-bespattered crest. On and on, with terrible slowness and at frightful cost. Then, just as they reached their goal, the enemy hurled a fierce barrage of explosives directly at them. Among the group that lay silent in death was the colonel. The following day, the soldiers tenderly removed his broken body along with others. As they silently carried him away, an infantryman turned and looked at that heroic form. A film of tears misted his eyes. As he passed a quick hand across them, he murmured, "He didn't belong on that hill. He didn't have to be there, but he was there just the same." Many were the fierce and savage battles of Triangle Hill, but none were of greater intensity than another battle on another hill. Turn your tear-moistened eyes to the hill called Calvary. View there not the form of an army colonel slain in battle, but the form of God's beloved, holy, co-equal Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke 23, verse 33, we read, "When they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him." It can of a truth be said of the Lord Jesus. He did not belong on that hill, but he was there just the same. The poet asked, "Oh, why was he there as the bearer of sin? If on Jesus thy guilt was not laid, or why from his side flowed the sin-cleansing tide, if his dying thy debt has not paid?" Yes, he was there on that cross for you, dying in your place, that you might have everlasting life through him. For while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.